Christ is going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the forceful advancement of God's kingdom. We are not on the back foot. We are forcibly advancing the kingdom of light, taking over the kingdom of darkness. As I said before, the kingdom of the world is lawlessness, depression, anxiety, fear. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And Christ is going to build up his church, compelled by love, moving in power to destroy the gates of hell and bring and take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Can't sense the times, if you can't see the days that we're in, there is an exposing happening between darkness and light. There is a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness who have this world in bondage, and we are called to fight this battle. We are called to take territory. You know, we have to recognize that there is the spirit of the world. And in the spirit of the world, there is lawlessness, fear, and depression. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that's the case, then we are to bring his kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We are to advance, and we are in an interesting season of history, I believe, with all my heart. There is a tension, there is something in the atmosphere, and it's not time for us as believers to shrink back and keep our mouths shut. It's time for us to step forward into our destiny, because we will rise, and we will rise victorious. Amen. And so today I want to go through four actions of advancement to advance that I believe are strategies for us to advance God's kingdom in all the earth. And number one this morning is this, is proclamation. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Proclamation, preaching the gospel. One of our actions for advancing the gospel in the earth is the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation, the heralding. It speaks of a public announcement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells, how will they believe if we do not hear? There is an active, open preaching, of public preaching, that we are called to as the body of Christ. If we do not share our faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, then how will they believe if they do not hear? You know, we are to live good lives. We are to live a life that represents God, but there is an action step of publicly proclaiming the gospel so that people can believe in the gospel. We are called to do this, and when we speak of the gospel, we're proclaiming the gospel of God's kingdom realm advancing. We are proclaiming the good news that heaven is being manifest in earth, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, came to earth, suffered death so that we could be saved through his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to heaven. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to save us while we were still dead in our sin. While we didn't deserve it, Jesus loved us enough to come and save us. But you see, the good news has an opposite, which is bad news. You know, the weight of understanding good news is because we can truly understand there is bad news. The reason we desire to have deep joy is because we understand sorrow. The reason that we want peace is because we understand fear. We understand chaos. The weight of chaos produces a desire for supernatural peace. It's in the same way, an unfortunate reality is that it's the weight of sin that helps us appreciate the depths of God's grace. if we don't recognize the result and the actions that surround a sinful way of living, then we'll never really understand how deep and how powerful and profound the grace of God is in our lives. You see, the bad news is that people are going to destruction. There are people in this life that are going to hell, and that's the bad news because they've not given their life to Jesus. And the reality of the good news carries weight because these people need that salvation that you and I carry. And to advance His kingdom is to proclaim this good news that while we were dead in our sin, God sent Jesus. You know, God didn't send Jesus to send people to hell. The Bible tells us in John 16, it says, those who don't believe are condemned already because they have not believed. So an angry God in heaven didn't send Jesus to send people to hell. A loving God in heaven saw that humanity was broken, depraved, and separate from God, and He loved them so much that He sent Jesus to give them a way out. That's the good news, and we are called to proclaim this to this generation. We can't live in fear anymore. Can I say, this thought, the Achilles heel of the modern day Christian is our insatiable desire to be loved and accepted by the world. We are not called to be loved by the world. We are called to love the world. And if we truly lay our lives down for them, they'll recognize there's a truth and His name is Jesus. But if we constantly compromise to try and appease where they are, then they're never going to understand the truth that will set them free. I don't need to be loved by the world. I need to lay down my life so I can love the world, even if they reject me. Jesus says, if they reject you, it's because they rejected me first. That's not license to be a jerk. But it's an opportunity to be like Christ. It's an opportunity to say, I love the world so much that even if you don't like what I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you because I know that the good news is salvation, but there's bad news for those who don't believe. And I, for one, don't want to see anybody perish. The will of God, it says that He desires that not one would perish, but that all would be saved. So we give our lives so that people can know Him. And this is one of the most profound truths that we know is that Jesus came to save sinners. And if that doesn't grip your heart, then the lost people around you, you're just going to give them a massage all the way to hell. They don't need to be comforted to hell. They need to be brought to the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. We believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that He sent Jesus to come and save sinful people from their destruction and depravity and bring them into His kingdom of light. Action step to advancing the gospel is proclaiming that there is a gospel. You look at the world around us right now, it needs some good news. It needs some hope. It needs peace. But friends, can I tell you, love doesn't win. It's the love of God that wins. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. Number one, proclamation, preach the gospel. Number two, multiplication or discipleship. Matthew 28 verses 19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them everything that I have commanded you to do. Can I tell you, church growth starts with evangelism, but it's sustained through discipleship. They're two sides of the same coin. We are called to make disciples. Disciples are students. And Jesus says, go and make disciples and teach them what I've taught you. The book of Hosea says, the people perish for lack of knowledge, for lack of understanding. If you don't know the truth, then you won't recognize lies. And if you live in deception, you'll perish. So we are called, you and I, not just a pastor or a leader, to make disciples, to give people your life, to lay down your life one for another. Discipleship is not complex. It's teaching someone what God has taught you. And let me say this, discipleship is done in relationship, but relationship is not discipleship. It's a very dangerous misconception, like, oh, we're just together. No, you need to be together purposefully and intentionally to understand the Word of God and how it produces life in you. Don't just get caught in a group of people. Make sure you're being discipled into God's Word and understanding the truth of the gospel. Because can I tell you, it's a light to our path, it's a lamp to our feet, and right now the darkness is ramping up, and we need to keep the light of the Word guiding our lives so we don't fall to deception. Amen? Discipleship is a life transaction, life to life. Can I tell you, it's so important. The Bible tells us that the world, so when I speak of the world, it speaks of those who don't know Christ. It speaks of the entire mass of fallen humanity. Okay, so what, the world will know who we are as Christians by the love that we have one to another. It doesn't say that they will know who we are as Christians by the love we have for them. It says the world will know who we are by how we treat each other. No greater love has a man than to lay down his life one to another. Are we living lives laid down for the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Can I tell you, as Christians, our loyalty is to Christ and His church. The world is our mission. But so often we live in a generation where Christians, brothers and sisters, will say something and then other Christians will jump on the side of the world and attack the brother. Our job's not to slay the brother to reach the enemy. Our job's to link arm with the brother so we can reach the enemy. Okay, we're called to make disciples. We are the people of God. Can I tell you a strange truth? Is that the people of God are blessed and highly favored above others. It's not arrogance. We surrendered our lives to just make us better than them. It makes us born again in the Spirit of God. And we have something that they desire, whether they know it or not, but they're not going to get it if we've decided to compromise to the world standard to try and reach the world. Because why would they want what we have if what we have is the same as them? We're just more religious about it. There's a separation that says, come out of the world so you can influence the world. Not be influenced by the world. We are called to unite together. A preacher we had come through here a couple years ago, Jedediah Turner, he says, look what the church has accomplished divided. Imagine what we could accomplish united. Wow. Yeah. God, we are called to make discipleship. The advancement of the kingdom of God is done through multiplication, that you would give your life to somebody else to teach them what God has taught you. And so we make disciples who preach the gospel, who make disciples that preach the gospel. And we advance God's kingdom through multiplication, life on life, transaction, loving each other enough that we would lay down our life for one another and the world would say, I want that because I don't have it. Right. Amen? Number one, proclamation. Number two, multiplication. Number three, demonstration. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. When we are advancing the kingdom, this is Jesus, right? Jesus is our King. He is the head of the church. He's the Son of God, Savior of the world. He says, as you go, proclaim that my kingdom is near. It is here. And to help you proclaim that, he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely I have been given, so freely give. Can I tell you, part of being a kingdom advancing Christian, an action is demonstrating the power of heaven. It's the love of God expressed through the power of God. We are a church that believes in miracles. We are a church that believes that the name of Jesus is greater than the name of cancer. We are a church that believes the name of Jesus is greater than COVID-19. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and we need to be a church that is willing and able and active to demonstrate the power of heaven. In His kingdom, there's no sickness, there's no disease. Come on, guys, we are called to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I don't understand biblical Christians who don't believe in the power of God to heal, because everywhere Jesus went, it says he preached the gospel and he healed the sick and he cast out demons. It doesn't matter that we have doctors. It doesn't matter that we have psychiatrists. We are still called to heal the sick. Is your first response as a spirit-filled believer when your friend tells you they're sick to call the doctor, is it to say, let me just pray for you? Because I believe that God heals. This house is a house of miracles. The reason we pray every week after worship for miracles is not because it's the right thing to do. It's because we believe that the prayer of righteous men and women avails much. And we have testimonies. That's why if you receive a miracle, write in, fill out a prayer request, because your testimony becomes somebody else's prophecy that God still heals in 2020. We are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Because as we demonstrate, we take territory, and miracles glorify the goodness of God. Miracles glorify the name of Jesus. Proclamation, preach the gospel. Multiplication, we're called to expand through making disciples. And demonstration, expressing the power of the love of God through the power of God today. Sickness is to the body what sin is to the soul, and both have been paid for by the blood of Jesus. I'll never stop believing it. I've seen thousands of people miraculously healed, things that don't even make sense to the brain, and I've seen thousands not healed. I'm not gonna change what the truth says based on my experience. I'm gonna so find myself in the word of truth that it will eventually begin to transform my experience. Because either it's true or it's not. Number four, domination. I asked for epic battle music, but they don't have it. Matthew 16, verses 16 says, this is Jesus speaking, and he said to Simon or Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? Peter says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Verse 18, he says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Can I stop there and tell you, Peter is not the rock of the church. It's the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died and resurrected from the dead. The rock, the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ is the revelation of Christ and him crucified. And on this rock I will build my church. And it says the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We are called to take territory. I believe Christ, it says Christ will build his church. That we're all aware that doesn't mean build a steeple. We're all aware that that's not what it says, but I believe it says he's going to build his people. There's the firm foundation, the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ, and he's going to build his people up, not just in number, but he's going to build them in the word. He's going to build them in the spirit. He's going to build them in power, that we would be a force to be reckoned with. The Bible tells us, do not be afraid, but be aware. Resist the enemy, standing firm in the faith. Well, how do you stand firm in the faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you want to stand firm in the faith, you need to be found in the word. Built up on the foundation of Christ and him crucified. Christ is going to build his church. And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I always understood that scripture as Christ is going to build his church. And the hordes of hell can throw whatever they want at us, but we're going to stand firm and they can't touch us. And then I has been reading it and just been stirring in my spirit. And I felt the Lord show me Christ is going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the forceful advancement of God's kingdom. we are not on the back foot. We are forcibly advancing the kingdom of light, taking over the kingdom of darkness. As I said before, the kingdom of the world is lawlessness, depression, anxiety, fear. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And Christ is going to build up his church, compelled by love, moving in power to destroy the gates of hell and bring and take back what the enemy has stolen from us. That's why every university that we put our feet in, the Bible tells us where the soles of our feet tread, God has given us this land. We are not to sit back as a passive people. We are an aggressive people because we know that this world needs Jesus Christ. Every dollar we put through the giving systems to help rescue young girls out of the sex trafficking industry is us taking territory back for the kingdom of God. Every dollar given to missions in Africa, this church has been a part of seeing 7,000 people saved last year in Africa. It's been a part of seeing 77 churches in rural Kenya be taught and discipled the word of God. And everywhere we go, we are taking back territory, and the rulers and principalities of darkness can do what they want. But my Bible says that Christ will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are the church and we are on the forefront and we will not shy back. The spirit of the world can try and shut our mouths all at once, but I'll tell you something today. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're called to advance his kingdom. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Demonstrate through the power of heaven his kingdom, and to take territory. The seed that you sow into this church does not stay in unfertile ground. We are influencing our world for good and for God because we are a Bible-believing church empowered by the Spirit, and we will take territory and we will fight darkness because the truth is, if God be for us, who could dare stand against us? I won't let the spirit of perversion silence the church anymore. It's crippling Christians into compromise, and it's time for us to stand up for the truth of the gospel. It's time for us to realize that the Bible is true. Stop trying to get the world to love you and start loving them enough to say, I'm here to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ, that while we were dead in our sin, God loved us enough to give us life.